And joining us now is Tara McGinnis, who is Executive Director of the Center for American Progress Action Fund and Senior Vice President for Communications at the Center for American Progress. Previously, she directed the Progressive Accountability Project during the 2008 presidential campaign and was Deputy Director of Americans Against Escalation in Iraq. A veteran of House, Senate, and Issues campaign, she also served in the United States House of Representatives for Representative Edward Markey and as a press secretary on John Kerry's presidential campaign. Welcome to Background Briefing, Tara McGinnis.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And what do you expect to hear from the president in about 15 minutes or so from now, Tara? Is he going to revisit the theme of economic justice and fairness in this country, do you think?
I think he is. I think early signs are that he's largely going to focus on picking up where he left off in the inauguration speech, the inaugural address, focusing on the long-term things that it takes to get the country moving and growing, and really focusing in on what it means for an economy that works for all Americans, not just those who've been doing really well.
Well, in his inauguration, he did mention global warming, which did not come up in the presidential campaign to the chagrin of a lot of people. So one would expect maybe he will also mention that, particularly given the recent storms, Sandy and then just Nemo. Do you think that we'll get something along the lines of what that problem or that incredible challenge to the planet poses, which is really a kind of Manhattan project or Jack Kennedy's invocation to put a man on the moon and bring him back?
I think certainly he's going to talk about climate change tonight. I think because it's impacting communities across the country in such a real way, this is an opportunity for the president to speak directly to the public, not only about how he's going to address climate change, but really using the bully pulpit to put front and center this being one of the issues of our time. You know, there's a number of proposals on the table how he could use the powers he has as president through either executive orders or working with the cabinet to increase the planning that's happening on climate change. He could also talk more about regulations or investments as he has in his previous State of the Union addresses on clean energy, getting us onto cleaner, more renewable, less carbon through our national energy program.
So there is a bit of a disconnect here, isn't there, Tara McGinnis? Again, the Executive Director of the Center for American Progress's Action Fund and a Senior Vice President for Communications at the Center for American Progress. The sense is that no matter how lofty the rhetoric is, the reality is that you've got a Congress that's implacably hostile, a House of Representatives that's implacably hostile to the president. And they are poised to basically tank the economy if they go ahead with this sequester, which will bring about a new recession and stop the recovery and unnecessarily punish millions of Americans and impoverish them.
You know, I think you raise a really interesting point, and the State of the Union gives the president a moment, you know, a rare moment to speak directly to the American public, to tens of millions of viewers, but to Congress, you know, standing in front of Congress. The question of what he's for and then the, you know, what happens once, Congress is engaged and what really makes it through the mix in terms of taking action on the economy, as you mentioned, sequestration, whether it's climate change, or getting to some of the other issues he's talked about before that I think will be raised tonight, addressing gun violence or immigration, much of this goes through the crucible of Congress. And so I think for those, including whether it's Marco Rubio or there are, you know, several different Republicans who are giving responses. I don't think there is a Republican response. We've got at least two people giving in Senator
Rand Paul.
Rather, giving the second address, that there's real risk for stepping between a very popular president with what I would argue is much public support in blocking some of these things, and so I think it's a high risk venture for Republicans in particular to get between the president and a popular agenda, and we'll see whether that's what they decide to do this evening.
Well, it's worth noting, Tara McGinnis, that Marco Rubio, who is as much of a Tea Party candidate as Rand Paul, so it's kind of somewhat redundant, these two, rebuttals. But Marco Rubio just recently reiterated his stance against global warming. He doesn't believe it's real. So one can only hope he brings it up, right? I mean, we might as well they might as well be straightforward about their positions, even if they don't make any sense in the real world.
I think it's really I think it's telling that they haven't, that they couldn't even create one cohesive response. That in fact, Marco Rubio, as you pointed out, was the Tea Party candidate running against an establishment Republican candidate when he first ran, is being bested by another Tea Party response. That Marco Rubio wasn't even trusted by the Tea Party. That this sort of shows, I think, a disarray in terms of the future of the Republican Party. But frankly, I don't think cosmetic rebranding is good listening on behalf of Republicans for what sort of real serious soul searching needs to come about. In fact, I think if Marco Rubio continues to kind of talk about the importance of immigration while fighting the process of a comprehensive immigration bill, or talk about the importance of women in the Republican Party while fighting very common sense measures to protect men and women from domestic violence, that this kind of glossing over and rebranding isn't going to get very far.
So at the moment, of course, the big fight is over the president getting not just the economy, continuing the recovery, which is now endangered by the sequester, but also getting his cabinet appointees seated and confirmed, with particularly the one of the more important ones being Secretary of Defense, and then the head of the CIA. And there's this kind of jihad from the guy that lost in 2008, John McCain, and his sidekick, Lindsey Graham. I was talking earlier to a couple of the guests, suggesting that in many ways, I think it is explained by the frustration and anger that McCain and other Republicans have, that Obama has sort of, taken back national security, which normally the Democrats have been defensive on, and the Republicans have owned that. Do you have an explanation for this continuing guerrilla war that John McCain, the sore loser, is engaged in?
I don't really have an explanation for John McCain. He's been, throughout his record in the Senate, known to take on some of these fights in quite a personal fashion. But I'd make an observation about the larger role of Republicans in blocking not only nominations to the cabinet, but in many cases to the second tier of people, the COOs, the people who are running various government agencies, and in terms of blocking judges. The Republicans did a tremendous job at stalling all levels of appointments of judges for the Obama administration. And frankly, if you don't believe in the role that a government can play in the country, that if ideologically, like many conservatives, you want to whittle away the government to the point where you could drown in the bathtub, that this is a very effective way to throw mud and cog in the wheels of making it function, right? To have the people who make daily decisions, to have shortages of judges so that courts aren't seeing people. So that, John McCain, and I think this is quite personal in his fight, but I think, frankly, perhaps what's even more pervasive and destructive is the slowing down of appointing people to all levels of government to the point where you're actually helping in creating dysfunction.
This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.